wife was getting ready for a big party, and she got dressed and said to her husband, "Do these pants make me look fat?" He said, "It's not the pants." His day did not go well at that point. But today we're going to be talking about honesty. And as we look at the book of Daniel, we're going to be talking about honesty and how to be a courageous Christ follower, one must also be honest. Now, there's ways to be honest without being rude, and there's ways to be honest in a way that's caring and showing love. But ultimately, we are called to be men and women of integrity. Daniel and his friends were men of integrity, and I want to read now from chapter 4 of Daniel. If you turn there in your Bibles, Daniel chapter 4. But this time, he's a little freaked out, and you'll see why as we read through this dream. So he thinks of the man who helped him last time, who was Daniel. Daniel was the only one who could interpret the last dream, so he calls for Daniel by name this time. "I said, Daniel, chief of the magicians, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and no mystery is too difficult for you. Here is my dream, interpret it for me. These are the visions I saw while lying in my bed. I looked, and there before me stood a tree in the middle of the land. Its height was enormous. The tree grew large and strong, and its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful, its fruit abundant, and on it was food for all. Under it, the beasts of the field found shelter, and the birds of the air lived in its branches. From it, every creature was fed. In the visions I saw while lying in my bed, I looked, and there before me was a messenger, a holy one coming down from heaven. He called in a loud voice, 'Cut down the tree and trim off its branches. Strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the animals flee from under it and the birds from its branches, but let the stump and its roots, bound with iron and bronze, remain in the ground, in the grass of the field. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him live with the animals among the plants of the earth. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the mind of an animal, till 7 times pass by for him.'" So he's saying that this stump, this tree, is the greatest tree in the world. It's the most powerful tree, most powerful, magnificent tree that you've ever seen. And it's sustaining all of these other creatures, and all of this other vegetation is supported by this tree. Yet this tree is going to be chopped down to nothing, just the stump. And then this stump is going to be turned into some sort of an animal. It says that he will be given the mind of an animal, and 7 times will pass by for him. This transformation into an animal, the Hebrew there indicates that it's the whole process of being an animal. The mental thinking, the mental processing, the feelings, the affections, the emotions, all of that, just like an animal, is what this guy is going to be turned into. It's a transformation at the heart level. And this represented, the 7 seasons represent 7 years that he's going to be in this affliction. Let's pick up in verse 17. "The decision is announced by messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict, so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes and sets over them the lowliest of men. This is the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now, Belshazzar, tell me what it means, for none of the wise men in my kingdom can interpret it for me. But you can, because the spirit of the holy gods is in you." So this judgment that this dream is talking about takes place over the person who thinks he's the supreme ruler over all. This tree that represents King Nebuchadnezzar himself. He says God has given the kings their kingdoms and can take away their kingdoms at his discretion. Now, Nebuchadnezzar tells Daniel this dream to interpret it, and he says that because you believe in God, God is therefore going to give you the answer to this. So he's kind of testing Daniel, and he's also testing Daniel's God. And now, given what that dream meant, because Daniel is going to figure out what this means, The wise men, they may have known what this dream meant. But I don't know anyone who wants to tell the king that he's going to turn into a beast for 7 years. This would take guts. This would take brutal honesty to tell the king what this dream meant. And courageous Christ followers have to be honest. Then Daniel, verse 19, was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts terrified him. Daniel didn't want to tell the king the meaning of the dream either. This is the most powerful man in the world, and you're going to tell him this message? The Aramaic literally means he was stupefied. And it says he's stupefied for an hour. And it doesn't necessarily mean 1 hour, literally, but he did not want to tell the king this dream. So the king says this to Daniel, "Do not let the dream or its meaning alarm you." Belteshazzar answered, "My lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries." Daniel cared for this king to some degree. He had been very favorable to him throughout his life. He did not wish this fate for the king. But in verse 20, he tells the king exactly what this dream means. "The tree you saw, which grew large and strong, with its top touching the sky, visible to the whole earth, with beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, providing food for all, giving shelter to the beasts of the field, and having nesting places in its branches for the birds of the air, you, O king, are that tree. You have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to distant parts of the earth. You, O king, saw a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, 'Cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump bound with iron and bronze in the grass of the field while its roots remain in the ground. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live like the wild animals until 7 times pass by for him.' This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree the Most High has issued against my lord, the king. You will be driven away from my people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle and be drenched with the dew of heaven. 7 times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. The command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that then your prosperity will continue." So Daniel here tells the king the dream. And you've got to put yourself in Daniel's position at this point. He's got to be really tense telling this to the king, because no one wants to hear this message. And he adds at the end of the dream, after the interpretation, he says, "But maybe if you repent of your ways, maybe if you turn from your sins, this won't happen. Please, king, don't follow the way, the path that you're on. Turn toward God." In the dream interpretation, though, Daniel says that after 7 years, King Nebuchadnezzar would be given his kingdom back. So, which is interesting, because most time when God's judgment comes down on people, they don't get a second chance. But isn't it great that you and I are given that second chance, and that third chance, and that fourth chance, and that fifth chance with God? Because God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And he offers us that forgiveness, that acceptance. And when we turn to him, no matter how many times we turn away, no matter how many times we say, "No, God, I'm doing it my way," we can always turn back. We can always turn back to God. We've never gone too far. We've never gone so far, been so bad, that God can't accept us and forgive us. Verse 28 says, "All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, He said, "Is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty?" So his pride was still present, and that's the sin that ultimately decided his fate. The words were still on his lips when a voice came from heaven. "This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. 7 times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes." Immediately, what had been said about King Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of the bird. So King Nebuchadnezzar here is suffering from boanthropy, and he believed himself to be a cow or an ox. And it's actually a condition that people have, which surprised me. But it is a psychological condition that you can study if you'd like. He lived like a cow or an ox for 7 years because of his pride. He believed that he had done all these wonderful things on his own and that he didn't need God, that he didn't need to acknowledge that God is the one who had blessed him with these things, that God was the one who reigned supreme. But there is hope. Remember, he gets his kingdom back, and in verse 34 we read how that happens. "At the end of that time, at the end of the 7 years, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High, I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, 'What have you done?'" So Nebuchadnezzar acknowledges that God was the unending and everlasting power of the universe. He acknowledges that God is the one who deserves honor, stating that God's kingdom would never end. He recognized that nothing that we do as humans can compare to what God has done or is doing. And he saw that God was all-powerful over all. Finishing up the chapter in verse 36. "At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right, and all his ways are just, and those who walk in pride he is able to humble." So we have in this chapter a continuation of one of the main themes of Daniel, and that is that God is in ultimate control. Nebuchadnezzar had to understand that God himself was not to be underestimated. God is the one true God, and he is the God who can move mountains and move rulers and give people things that they need. And think about the exiles who are here, because the people of Israel had been taken into Babylonian captivity. And they might be questioning God, like, how could God be letting this happen? But then they see this miracle, and they see God's prophecy come true in Nebuchadnezzar and what happens to him. Meanwhile, Daniel is put in that precarious situation of having to be honest and tell the king what wasn't popular and what could have endangered his own life. We too need to be like Daniel and be courageous and speak the truth when God calls us to do so. Think about your life for a moment. Is there an area of your life where you need to stand up for the truth? Is there an area in your life where you need to stop lying and be honest? Maybe with a family member, maybe with a work situation. What is it in your life where you need to really step up and live a life of integrity. It's hard to be honest, isn't it? All the time, every minute of every day. But in order to live courageously, we have to be filled with integrity and with honesty and live life above reproach. Now, I want to segue into a little bit of a rabbit trail, and bear with me. I know, strap in, kids. This is going to be fun. Okay, now, how many of you believe, by a raise of hands, that God can speak to you? Not necessarily like an audible voice, but He can speak to you, okay? Now, how many of you also believe that God can speak to you through your dreams? Okay? We are asleep roughly a third of our lives. Maybe more, maybe less. And I believe that God can communicate to us at any time He chooses, whether it's through our dreams or whether we're awake. Now, one of the ways that God can communicate with you is through your dreams. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about prophetic dreams, where God tells you the future, because God could do that, I suppose. But in my personal life, God's never, thankfully, had any of my dreams come true, because they're a little wacky sometimes. I might go to jail if some of my dreams come true, you know what I'm saying? All right. Now, I know some people say, now you got questions like, All right. Now, some people say, oh, I don't dream, but it's scientists have told us that everyone dreams, you just might not remember it, okay? And so, if you're interested in trying to find out what your dreams mean, there's a couple things you can do. The first thing that you need to be able to do is remember your dreams, okay? That's the first step. So, the best practice for remembering your dreams is to have a little notebook and a pen right next to your bed. So, as soon as you wake up, you can write those dreams down. Or if you have your phone or something, you can dictate your dreams, but then someone might hear it or something. I don't know. Okay? But the less moving that you make, the better. The more still you can be when you're doing it, the better that you're going to remember. Now, once you've got your dreams written down, then you can start the process of interpreting them and seeing what they might mean to you. Now, dream interpretation is an art. It's not a science. There's probably not a one right answer to your dream or one wrong answer to your dream. But when you go through your dreams, and once you have it written down and you read over those dreams, you're remembering that dreams are very symbolic. If you do things in the dream, the surface level things that you're doing in your dream, probably not what your dream is really about. Like, say you murder someone in your dream, okay? That doesn't mean necessarily that you want to murder that person in real life, or that you're going to murder that person in real life, okay? It just could mean many different things. Maybe you have anger towards that person, or maybe it's anger toward yourself. It does not necessarily mean that. So what you do is you write that down, and when you go through that, you have to think of what do the different things in your dream symbolize to you. Now, interestingly, people around the world from different cultures all tend to dream generally about the same major things, which is fascinating to me that it's a universal language, these dreams, because I thought it would be more cultural. But typically, we have the same basic themes. The most common dream that people have, what do you think it is? Anybody? Teeth falling out? Flying, yeah, flying was one of them. But the most common dream is being chased. How many of you had that dream of being chased? Yeah, most of us. Okay? Now, the reason that we remember that is because nightmares and bad dreams are typically more memorable to us because we're more emotional about it. But being chased typically means that there's some decision that you're putting off or something that you don't want to face in life. And so that is symbolically chasing you. And so if you look at who's chasing you or what's chasing you or why you're running in your dream, you can start to think, maybe I really need to deal with whatever that is and not just keep running from it. Another common dream is having to take a test that you're not prepared for. How many of you had that one? Like, it doesn't count if you're in school, but okay? Most of this time, it happens to people who are out of school, and it has to do something about with our past that we're not addressing in our past, and they're not dealing with in our past. Maybe something that we've learned in our past that we could apply to something that we've learned in the future, or learning doing in the future. Now, there's lots of resources on dream interpretation, and I really love discussing dreams with people. So here's my invitation. If you have a dream that you're stumped on, call me, let's talk, because I love this stuff, okay? Now, if you're stumped at what the dream might mean to you, to help you get unstuck, pretend that the dream's not yours. Pretend that it's your friend bringing you the dream, and that kind of sets you apart from it and might be able to get more objective about that. Now, in seminary, I took a class on Christian dream work, and I got an A, unlike preaching, where I got a D. I know, really? I know. Actually, that was in undergrad that I got a D in preaching, so. So in this final paper that I had for my dream work class that I got an A in, I had to describe my view on dreams, which I've kind of briefly, like, really, I could have read you the whole paper, but that might have been boring. But I had to give you a basic overview of what I believe dreams, and that's kind of what I've done. But then I had to also give a dream that I had had, write it down in the paper, and then interpret that dream. Now, it was really amazing to me. It was about 11 years ago when I did this paper, and I read the dream first, and I had absolutely no recollection of the dream whatsoever. I was the chief of staff of the United States of America, and the president was the West Wing guy. What's his name? Martin Sheen was the president, and people from the West Wing were in their positions. Okay, it was crazy. And I couldn't remember the dream, but when I was reading through my interpretation of the dream, it was really amazing to see what I learned about myself by going through that dream. And no, I'm not going to share with you all of my interpretation of that dream. Not when we're recording, anyway. But it was very good to be able to go back. And that's why, if you do this, it's good to keep a journal. Because if you write these dreams down, then write down your interpretations, it can help you later in time and go through and say, wow, God's really helped me move from that spot. Or God has really helped me grow, or I've grown and matured from that spot in your dream. Dreams can be that window into your life that you may miss while you're awake and distracted by all the other things. So I encourage you to write down your dreams this week, record your dreams, and then process through them what you might mean, and you can search online for what different symbols mean. And that gives you a sort of a starting spot. Actually, teeth falling out is not an uncommon dream. It's pretty common. And I just blanked what it actually symbolizes. Not going to come to me right now. But I remember bees means anger. And I had a dream where I was always going up into this attic, and it was just a huge beehive. And I really didn't realize I was so angry at this person. But then as I thought about my dreams, I realized, wow, this person really has ticked me off. I need to deal with this rather than just stuff it down. So courageous Christ followers are honest. They stand up and they are men and women of integrity. And again, I invite you, if you write your dreams down this week, let's talk. I'll help you go through them. Let's pray. God, our Father, we thank you that you have called us to be your followers. I thank you that we've had this time together to talk and to think about our dreams and think about what it means to be a follower of Christ. I pray that as we go forth this week, that we will be constantly reminded of your beauty, of your majesty, of your splendor. I pray that we will seek you out in all areas and that we would seek to do your will for our life. I thank you, Father, for each person that's here and every life that's represented. I pray that you'd bless each person that is here today. Give them, God, the desires of their heart as it is in accordance with your will. In Jesus' name we pray.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111 Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.